Yeah, I'd like to thank God and my senior pastors, Pastor Charlie and Pastor Helen, my community pastors, and just a few people that surround me in church, you know, like Suresh and his family and stuff. It's always good to be connected with people. And I think that's the most important thing about being a Christian, is to be connected to someone that's connected to God. With that, there was a time where I actually played for the Wallabies. Hard to believe, eh? Hard to believe. So I took my guitar and I went to the wildlife park. And guess what? They didn't like it. Overcoming the flesh, my testimony. It says in Revelations 12:11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to death. By the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Each one of us has a testimony. And each one's testimony is unique to you. There's no big or no small. There's no great or there's no life and death. Each one of you has a testimony. And each one of your testimony is as important as everyone sitting next to you. It's because the power of Christ that raised him from the dead is part of that transformative testimony in your life. So while I was preparing this message, there's a few things I go back and forth with. And I love the Old Testament because without the old, there's no new. And the Old Testament speaks about Jesus and his redemptive work for us in our life. And so if you look at the Old Testament, there was a temple, right? And as an Old Testament believer, you'd come to the middle of the camp. You'd want to go to church. And before you could enter church, you had to bring in an animal of sacrifice. Now, the animal had to be really pure. Now, for me, that would be really expensive because I had to drag a white elephant every time I went in. But the essence of that all is that there were specifics that God gave people of how he was or what his essence was, like the way the courtyard was, the way the tabernacle was, what you did when you entered. You bought that animal, you met the priest. The priest deemed if that animal was pure or not. And then at the end of it, you confessed your sins, thus allowing God to impute them. And that basically means that God forgave you of your sins because there was a life that was taken for your sin. All of the above was just a descriptive point of what would be the final redemption that was accomplished by Jesus through his life, his death, and his resurrection. So how did I overcome the flesh? I'll be focusing on 3 points today and how these 3 points fit on my journey. In John 14:6, Jesus answered and said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We'd be looking at the way, we'd be looking at the truth, and we'll be looking at the life. For a major part of my life, and I kid you not, drugs, alcohol, relationships, and my career fueled me. So I grew up in Mumbai. It's a city of 19 million people, and it's really busy. It's about 603 square kilometers of land, and you have 19 million people. All these big buildings and all these people rushing to work and stuff. I grew up in poverty. I grew up being bullied for most of my child career. Most of it was in and through family and stuff, right? And I lived as a Christian, but I lived as a Christian who completely disobeyed God in everything. Because for me, being a Christian was going to church on Sunday and praying, and that's it. I go back to my life on Monday and did what I had to do. Life was about how well you made it, of how well your career looked like, and how good you were in sports. Now, I was surrounded by a family, and I'm not saying that my family was bad. I'm not saying that my family is good. I think my family was perfect because I wouldn't be here without them. But I was surrounded by family that was constantly going towards being how competitive, how good you are. So my cousins were like, hey, you know, these are the marks I scored in school, or I came first. And so that became life, and I became very competitive through my career. And no matter how hard I tried, the addictions grew. And no matter how hard I try, I kept on falling down on my face. There were times in my life where I felt like I was on the top of my career. But guess what? There was some stupid decision that I made. Am I allowed to say stupid? Yeah, okay. There's some stupid decision that I made that led me to end up falling down face first. But I remember mom praying for me. I remember mom, coming in the night and anointing me with oil. And I used to wake up in the morning like, Mama, why are you putting this oil on my head? Can you stop, please? And she was like, nothing. She said, Jesus loves you. All she did was said was, Jesus loved you. It's through that I realized the grace of God. It's through that I realized to rely on the scriptures. It's through that I deepened and found my identity in who God says I am. I found that Jesus is the way. That his redemptive work on the cross and his resurrection is what saves me. It's what saves you and I. So as I was trying to chase my career and as I was making all the wrong decisions, there were certain aspects of my life that led me to points in my life where I should not be here. But guess what? Jesus showed up. He showed up because, like Pastor Stephen said earlier, it's generational. My parents were praying parents. Even though they were not as prayerful as they were, my mom prayed over me. And guess what? Jesus came to save me, save the son. And I know Jesus will come to save Joseph. Not that he needs saving. He's going to be the perfect kid. I'm just kidding. But that's how I knew that Jesus is the way. I knew that I had to receive him first as my Lord and Savior to know that he has overcome everything that controlled me. That everything in the spiritual is broken off when I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. That he is the truth. That when I dwell in his word is like a lampstand to my feet. You know, it says lampstand to my feet. So if I was to stand here and I put a lamp there, the only light I'll receive is for my next step. And then I put the lamp on the next step. And the only other step I can take or I can see is the next step. And there's a reason for that, because you trust God for your future. And that was something that I had to realize. Did I make mistakes? I'm 35. Did I keep making mistakes being 35? Yes, I do. Do I still make mistakes? Yes, I do. Do I still make stupid decisions? No, I don't. That's. I think the conviction of the Holy Spirit right now is too strong. And I think one of the most important things I've learned is that I hide myself at home so that I don't have to face any of the troubles. I'm just kidding, no. I do a lot of things. But yes, so that it's something like the gym. You know, I like to work out. So if I had to go to the gym and I ate all this food and I didn't work out, guess what's going to happen to me? I'm going to put on weight. It's simple. If you play sports and you don't practice, what happens? You don't get on the team. You don't get to play. And that is what the word is. I needed to read the scripture. I needed to meditate on them. It's muttering under my mouth. I needed to be enlightened by them. And the biggest realization that the word of God brought me was that as I was trying to get to the top of where I thought and I expected the top was, God was preparing a better way for me. And that realization only came through the scriptures. In 2019, I faced one of the biggest challenges in my life. I could have never imagined coming to Australia. I couldn't afford coming to Australia. I couldn't afford buying a ticket to come to Australia. I reached the top of my career. And guess what I did with all that money? Don't want to know. But that being said, I faced some of the biggest trials in the sense of there were relationships that ended near me. People thought I was fake. You know, that is the time where I was drawing very close to God. I spent a lot of time reading the scriptures. I spent a lot of time praying. I spent a lot of time. You know, in Hindi, you profane a lot. So I can't speak Hindi because everything that I had was profanity. And so every time I used profanity, I apologized. I was like, Suresh, blah, blah, blah. And a ping. I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. And Suresh looked at me and was like, bro, what's wrong with you? Like, why are you apologizing? He's like, nah, I just want to break that habit. And so while I was doing that, I faced some of the biggest challenges. It led me to a point in life where I thought life is not worth living. And then this song in the busy streets of Mumbai played in my head, what a friend we have in Jesus. I realized in that day that I'm not alone. I realized in that day that life had a far more greater purpose. I realized that what I was doing had purpose in the future because God has prepared a way for you like he prepared a way for me. Miraculously, I decided to come to New Zealand. Miraculously, the money's appeared. There's a family called the Good Games in New Zealand. In the first week of me being in New Zealand, they gave me a car. The first week. The church that I went to, God placed me in C3 Rotorua. My senior pastors there, JP and Karen, amazing. They're not as amazing as Pastor Stephen and Anami, but yes, they're amazing. You know, I learned to humble myself. I learned to submit. I learned to humble myself. And when you do that, God exalts you. It says, sorry, wrong scripture. Somebody went back to my slides. It says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him because he cares for you. You need to realize that God cares for you. You need to realize that God loves you. You need to realize that Jesus is life, that without Jesus, I would have perished. The influences that I had in the world, the vices that I had in the world, would on its own end up killing me. I had to realize that Jesus' name had power and authority over all things. It is something that I want you to all deepen your relationship with, because it's very important to know that the name of Jesus is not second hand, it's first. You don't hope for healing, you believe. When you hope, you're expecting God to work on what you've hoped for. When you believe that this is what God is going to do, you let him work through your life. It's very important to know that Jesus is life. It's very important to know that when Jesus breaks the addiction, when he broke the addiction in my life, when he broke the influences in my life, he broke the spiritual influences. I had to break the habits. And I could only do that with the grace. Because God breaks it. The day you receive Jesus, God breaks that spiritual influence. But you've created that habit. You've created that habit by saying yes to the wrong things. And so you need to break that habit. That you are able to go to the Father through the throne room and ask for forgiveness and receive Jesus and receive what you require or what you need in your life. In Hebrews 10:19, it says, therefore, brethren, having the boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. You enter the throne room because you're covered by the blood of Jesus. That is through invitation. You receive Jesus. You go up to Jesus and you say, Jesus, I welcome you into my life. I make you my Lord and my Savior. Each one's, like I said, journey is unique to you. You have a testimony, no matter how big or how small. You're alive. That's a testimony. You have food on the table. That's a testimony. You have a home and a roof over your head. That's a testimony. You have friends. That's a testimony. Each one of you has a testimony that's unique to you. Some of you may have never ended up on the wrong side of life. But what I want you to understand is the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. No one in the Bible was on a ship, and the ship sailed really fine. I stand here as a redemptive work of Christ, my mother's prayers, and submitting to my leaders. And what I mean by submitting to my leaders is sometimes, like say for example, just for example, Pastor Helen and me, like say I've joined church, right? I may not agree with what she says, but ultimately I submit. Submit knowing that if I could spend the amount of time, or I could last the amount of time she's lasted in ministry, that in itself is a win. That she's an inspiration of all the gold that I can pull out from the knowledge that God has placed within her life through her experience. And that is what it means to submit. I live my life by affirmations. And so, while I call the band up, I thought that was the alarm. But I know my time is up, but that's okay. The affirmations I live by are based on scriptures. There's a message I heard by Pastor Craig Rochelle called Winning the War in Your Mind. Jesus is first in my life. I exist to serve and glorify him. I love my wife and will lay down my life to serve her. My children will love God and serve him with their whole hearts. I will train, nurture, and equip them to do more for God's kingdom than they can imagine. I love people and believe the best about others. I am disciplined. Christ in me is stronger than the wrong desires in me. I am growing closer to Jesus every day. Because of Jesus, my family is closer, my body is stronger, my faith is deeper, my leadership is sharper. I am anointed, empowered, and equipped, and called to reach people far from God. I am creative, innovative, focused, and blessed beyond measure because the Holy Spirit dwells within me. I develop leaders. It's not something I do, it's who I am. My words, thoughts, and imaginations are under the power of Christ. I take all thoughts captive and make them obedient to Christ. Again and again and again. Again, every day, scriptural. Every day, I wake up, I say it. When I'm in doubt, I say it. You know, when my mind goes through weird things, my words, thoughts, and imaginations are under the power of Christ. I take all thoughts captive and make them obedient to Christ. When I see someone I don't like, I love people and believe the best about others. So why don't I invite you to all stand up? And based on what Rani spoke about being teachable, about being able to open yourself up to God, to give Him access in your life, I'm going to leave you with this question. Is your life story reflecting the redemptive work of Christ with everything, in all things, at all times, to everyone around you, so that they are able to invite Jesus to transform them to be more like Him, Jesus?